Morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is daf Ayin Dalet. We are in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to start today from the words Amar Rava. So, but before we do that, let's get ourselves some background. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Chanishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. The background you need to know is that we started a Mishnah Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and that dealt with a case of being Mekadesh a woman and with Tanai. Okay, so like we know, anytime you make a kinyan, so you can make conditions going into the kinyan, and why not? Meaning you want to make sure that this is what you're getting, or even if you don't want to know if this is what you're getting, but you want to make a condition. So tanaim, we have the ability, the right to make tanaim, and anytime you go into an acquisition. So as I mentioned yesterday, when the first stage of marriage is really kinyan, it operates through the same mechanism as kinyan, so therefore you're mekadesh a woman, you do so with tanai. So the only way that the kedushin is going to work is if the tanaim are mekuyam, if the conditions are satisfied. So for example, the Mishnah yesterday went through two examples in the Mishnah of what kind of conditions you made. Number one, you said before you did the maisa kedushin, so you said I'm going to be mekadesh you, but you have to have no nedarim. And then after the kedushin, turns out lo and behold, she had plenty of nedarim. She was wont to make nedarim. So under those circumstances, the kedushin is simply no good. There's no need for a divorce. There was no kedushin. Second example says the Mishnah is mumim. He says to her, "I'm going to make mekadesh you, but with no blemishes." So under those circumstances, what becomes then the halacha? So once again, if it comes out after kedushin that there are blemishes, so then the kedushin is simply no good. Okay, that's easy, that's straightforward, that's the basic halacha, that's the starting point for this whole discussion. Then where the discussion gets a little bit complicated is the following. What happens if you're Mekadesh al Tanai? So you made the condition that I'm going to marry you all, but only if you have no Nedarim, or you have no Mumim. Let's just stick with Nedarim for now. So let's say you were Mekadesh with the condition that she had no Nedarim. Good. And then you went to the next step. And then you went to the second stage of marriage, you went through Nisuin. And that means that the husband had beer with her. So what then becomes with the husband has to be with her. So here's a starting point for today's discussion. It takes us all the way back to the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and that was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel has a machlokas as to whether and what happens now, even though you're Mekadesh al Tanai, but you went to the second stage of marriage and you had bia, then what happens? So Rav says that it gets required, and Shmuel says that no, gets required. Okay, now let's first spend a little bit of attention on the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel says that no gets required, and the reason for Shmuel is very simple. Because when you married her, in other words, when you went through stage one of marriage, so you said, I'm marrying you, but only out tonight, but only on condition. And the condition wasn't satisfied. She had Nedarim. So even though you did go to the second stage of marriage, and even though the husband did have relations with her, okay, but the kedushin was done out tonight, and the tanai wasn't satisfied. So therefore, nothing changes. That's that's behind the halacha of Shmuel. Good. And so therefore, there's no get that's required, even though the man had relations with her, but no get's required. What about Rav? What's behind Rav's opinion that you were when you were Mekadesh, or you did so out tonight, whether you made a condition and the condition was not satisfied, and then you went to the second stage of marriage, and then you had relations with her, and Rav says now you need a get because now you're married. Why should that be the case? So yesterday, if you remember, on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara rejected one explanation of Rav, and the Gemara accepted another explanation of Rav. The rejected explanation of Rav is, well, because you had relations with her, so therefore it was a mechila. In other words, you made conditions, but you must waive the conditions. By you having relations with her, that means that, I didn't mean it. In other words, I know when I married you, I made conditions, but I didn't mean it. That's one possibility to explain Rav, but the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says that that's not really what's behind the opinion of Rav. Stay tuned later today. In today's daf, we're gonna try to resurrect that svara. But
question about this: when is the time that the husband would find out? Is it before Nisuin or after
Nisuin? Let's assume. I mean, if we're talking about mechila, so it means
that it was before.
It must mean that they knew about it. In other words, that he knew that.
So he knew, and then he went through the process.
Well, what he knew is that he made conditions. In other words, did he find out that she was a Nadra Nisa at that point in time?
Yeah,
right. Right,
that's a key question.
It is a key question. Let's assume that he finds it afterwards. Okay, let's assume that. That's one explanation of Rav. The Gemara rejects it. A second explanation of Rav, which the Gemara says is the explanation, is Ein Adam Oseh Bilasu Bilasnus. That when a man has relations with a woman, if there's a possibility that this relations can be transformative, in other words, it's not just a lascivious act of relations between a man and a woman, but it could create something. So therefore, a person does not make his bia as Bilasnus. It's not just there to satisfy his Yetzer Hara, but he's doing this. He's doing so with a purpose. What's the purpose? Purpose is to create marriage. And even though at the time of Kedushin they were not married, because the Kedushin he went in making a Tanai, the Tanai wasn't Mekuyam, but because they went to the second stage of marriage, and because he had relations with her, so therefore they're married. It only begs the question, which where does Shmuel disagree with Rav on that issue? Okay, that's the right question. The Gemara doesn't ask that question, but just in terms of learning, that's something there. If we were spending more time, for sure that would require analysis. The Gemara asked a question yesterday. According to Rav, why isn't he paying a ksuva? Because remember what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah says that under these circumstances, well, it's not perfectly clear what the Mishnah says, because, as we pointed out yesterday, we don't know with absolute certainty whether the Mishnah discusses this case or doesn't discuss this case. But let's just assume that the halacha is, and it is the halacha, that he doesn't pay her ksuva in such a circumstance. So how come they're married but he's not paying her ksuva? Why should that be? So the Gemara yesterday said, in explanation of Rav, well, one could just simply assert or say that as far as the ksuva is concerned, we're going to be makel. Now, remember, we used the term makel yesterday, but makel, when it comes to money, doesn't really mean makel. It just simply means, like Rashi explained yesterday, motzi mechaveiro lavaraya. Meaning, look, when it comes to the marriage itself, it's very possible they're married. In other words, they have relations. And ein adam motzi bilas bilas nos. In terms of the ksuva, we're not 100% sure that he owes her money. Meaning, remember, he was mekashal tanai. And now we have a general rule when it comes to money, motzi mechaveiro lavaraya. So we're going to keep the money by the husband because we're not 100% sure that they're married. But in terms of the status of the marriage and the requirement for a get, the Gemara says that we're going to be machmer for. Adkan, that really is just all the ABCs, that's just the basics, and that takes us to where we are right now. We are now starting with the words Amarabba. Okay, so what we have right now in front of us is a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. The case that we're going to be spending the rest of today, nearly the rest of today discussing, is this very case, where a man was mekadesh a woman al tanai, and then the conditions were not satisfied. In other words, he says, I'll marry you, but you have no nedarim. And it turns out that she has nedarim. And then they go to the second stage of marriage, they go now to nisuin, and he has relations with her. So again, we have a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says that the marriage is still no good. Rav says the marriage is good. And right now what we have in front of us is one explanation of this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. We have Abai's explanation. Right? If you look back on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, look at the very last two words of the Amud, Amar Abaye, that is Abai's explanation of Rav and Shmuel. Structurally, just so you know where we're going today, we're going to be having today two more explanations of this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. We're going to start today with Rabba, Amar Rabba, which is on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. This is going to be our second explanation of Rav and Shmuel, which is we're starting right now. And then on Ayin Dalam and Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, a little bit more towards the bottom, we're going to have a third explanation of Rav and Shmuel, which we're going to finish up today's daf with. So really, so Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, and then the later Amoraim, Abaye, Rabba, and Rav Ula Bar Abba, all three of them are going to have three different ways of how to look at this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so we're right now doing number two. Amar Rabba, in the Gemara. Machlokus betar shtei nashim. The only debate that exists between Rav and Shmuel is regarding two women. But if the mistake is regarding only one woman, so no get is required. Two women, one woman, what are we talking about? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains. Toshte Nashim, I'm reading Rashi. So Rashi says, what is the Gemara talking about? So Kiddush Le'al Tanai V'Isha Acheres Kanastam. So let's say he marries two women. He marries Leah and he does so with a condition. He marries the second woman and stam. In other words, no conditions were set forth. So v'nimtzu ala nedarim, and on the second woman there were nedarim. There were no nedarim. Sorry, there was nedarim. V'nimtzu aleha nedarim on both of them. V'hainu ta'usa, and that now is a mistake. Rav Sava came into lo asne b'hada dahach afa pishikvar gila daito shiyashi benadrenis tzrichem eneged demalagabal dahach avivala v'lo kapidu shmol amar came into gali daiti gali. So good. So now, in this scenario, that's an extraordinarily limited scenario. In this scenario, where a man marries two women, and one of them he says, you, look, I like you, but with limitations. So with you, you can't. In other words, he marries her out tonight. And for the second woman, so he doesn't make any tonight. Okay, so by virtue of the one that he, with one marriage, he's walking in with stipulation, it means I like you, but. Right, we'll start off the marriage, but the marriage will start off not on the most solid foundation. And the second one, he doesn't make any tanai whatsoever. So this is Rabbah's presentation of the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. In this very limited scenario, now we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, where Rav is telling you that, look, in this scenario where I'm making a tanai with one and I'm not making a tanai with the other, in this limited scenario, we're going to say that Srichem and Get, you're going to require a get. Because I'm showing that with this one, I'm going to go with stipulation, and this one, I don't have any stipulations whatsoever. But if it's Isha Achas, but if it's one woman, and you're a Mekadosh al Tanai, and and you married her anyway, Rav will admit to Shmuel that nothing changed, meaning that the Tanai was made, and even though they had Bia, but really the Bia was done al Das the Kedushin Rishonim, and therefore the Kedushin Rishonim was done al Tanai, and therefore the marriage is not a marriage. This is Rav's presentation. Now, if I could just try to simplify this explanation of Rabbah, what is Rabbah essentially saying? Rabbah is essentially saying like this. Look, I know we learned earlier today, meaning we went over yesterday's daf, that Abaye said that the whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is whether a person makes his bila bila's nos or doesn't make a bila bila's nos. But essentially what Rabbah is saying is, look, when you marry a woman out tonight and you marry her on condition, so really the truth of the matter is you're marrying her on condition. And nothing changes, meaning, inertia. The idea of inertia is that things move along based on the original force. So here also, it's really inertia. You married a woman out tonight, you made conditions, nothing changes. Now, it's true, what do you mean nothing changed? You went through the second stage of marriage, you had bia with her. Yeah, but even the bia that you had with her really was done al-das kedushin rishonim. It was done really with the original kedushin in mind. And the original kedushin was done al-tanai, and those tanai weren't satisfied, so the bia is not going to change anything. And only in a really limited scenario where he's marrying two women, and one he's making a tanai, and the other one he's not making a tanai, so there he's basically screaming out, I mean, I know he's not saying it, but he's screaming out, look, in that scenario, when he's marrying that second woman and there's not making a condition, then and only then do we say that the bia does something and it changes something. But generally speaking, if you marry out tonight, so then everything is done with the tonight.
So what happened to the Disney Hall anymore?
Well, one at a time.
Go ahead. Why should it make a difference whether there's two women?
Just contrast. In other words, not people see. In other words, we know what he's thinking.
Right.
When we're contrasting and he's marrying two women and now we know what he's thinking, by the second one, he's not making it tonight. Fine, he's not making it tonight. But generally speaking, if a person makes it tonight going into a marriage and there's no contrast and there's no other woman, so then nothing changes. Meaning, and even though he had beer with her, fine. But he married her all tonight. Again, he'll say it, but with really limited application. In other words, generally everyone to a certain degree is going to subscribe to this principle. I know it's a general term, but in other words, but with any general term, it's a question of how to apply that general term. And what Rob is going to tell you is, not here, we're not going to apply it over here. And the reason why we're not going to apply it over here is because look how the whole thing started. It started with him marrying her, saying, I'm marrying you, but only with the following conditions. And so therefore, yes, it's true, not the most bilas nos, but he started the marriage with conditions. And the bia that he has is not going to change those conditions. Meaning, look, when we first went over the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, meaning, think about it. I don't want to say Shmuel's right, so I'm not going to say those words. Shmuel's right. Okay, I said it. No, but you know what I mean. In other words, Rav is right as well. But I'm saying, but when you think about it, Shmuel's position is, okay, they went through the second stage of marriage, but there were Tanayim, right? So what do you do about those Tanayim? So Shmuel says, they were there, and they're still there. And therefore, once it's discovered now that she was a Nadronis, so that's it. The marriage is totally uprooted from the very beginning. So what's Rav saying? So again, the first presentation of Rav, that was a Abaye's presentation, is okay, but be a significant. Be a change of things. Zayn Adamos Abilas Abilas Nos. Now in Rav's presentation of Rav, no, even Rav agrees to this idea. There was a Tanai. Nothing changed.
Where does this,
Where does it stand in terms of our, the Mishnah that we had, in terms of if there, you know, if there's no stipulation, there's no tanai, right?
Right, so again, the Mishnah itself is unclear because there were two ways to learn the Mishnah. Either that second line was a continuation of the first line, or the second line is an independent clause. And if the second line is an independent clause, then it's not going back on the tanai. Okay.
For the second explanation, you need two getting that this guy marries two.
Correct.
What's the time period between one and two?
It doesn't say. Just the idea is that now I can at least contrast. You're right. When do you create a contrast as opposed to not? That's a good question. I don't know. But you just need the ability to contrast.
It has to be at the same time.
I agree. Okay. Baruch Atah Melechem Shalom Dibro. Okay, the Gemara now on this presentation of Rabbah, the Gemara is bothered. Ava betos ish. Let me start again. Amar Rabbah machlokes betos shenashim ava betos ish achas yevra kol and tzrichem en again. So Amar Abaye v'hamas nisan betos ish achas yevakamos v'nin tiyuf taminein. Ben, this is basically your question. So the Gemara says, so I understand. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Remember, our Mishnah was dealing with only one woman, and yet we were having a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Now Rashi points that over here. In other words, the Bnei HaYeshiva, meaning the Gemara is really asking from the perspective of after Rav and Shmuel lived and after Rav and Shmuel offered their opinion, so when the Bnei HaYeshiva were analyzing the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, they were using our Mishnah as part of their analysis. Now, our Mishnah is pretty clear. Our Mishnah is talking about where a man married one woman. So, Ela Yidmar Hachi Yidmar, so the Gemara says, okay, I agree. So, Amar Rabba Machlokes, so we're going to have now just a slight modification of Rabba's statement. Now, what's really going to end up happening is that nothing's going to change. In other words, it's going to basically come down to the same point, but it's just a slight adjustment. Amar Rabba Machlokes Betos Isha Achas Kein Shtei Nashim. The whole debate between Rav and Shmuel is where you're marrying one woman, but one woman as if it were two women. Now, how can one woman be two women? That is a little bit strange. She may have split personality, but Phil, you already know. You're right. Correct. You already know what's happening, right? The Rashi explains over here. It means that you married her once, and then you divorced her, and then you married her a second time. And right. In other words, in the first time when you married her with stipulation, the second time you married her without stipulation, and now we're contrasting marriage one and marriage two to the same woman. There you have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. But however, if it's one woman and it's we're talking about the first marriage, then everyone's in agreement that you don't need a get. It's the same basic point. It's just that we're not going to deal with two cases of two women because our Mishnah is not talking about a case of two women. So you know, the whole machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is when this is a second marriage, and we're contrasting it to the first time you married her. And the first time you married her, you did with it tonight, and the second time you did without it tonight. Then Rav will tell you that in that second marriage, so therefore good. The Nisuan is going to create a marriage, and you're going to need it again. But one woman, first marriage, and when you were Mekadisher, you did so with a Tanai, everyone's in agreement, even though you went to stage two, even though the man had relations with her, you don't need a get. Abai says, look, let's learn together the Braisa. The Braisa opens up with a case where you're Mekadisher, a woman, but mistakenly. What's the mistake? So we'll stay tuned. Pachas misheva pruta, or you gave her money, but the money that you gave her was less than a sheva pruta. I mean, you really have to go to an item with very little, a little object value. But okay, but you gave, in other words, you write after having gone through the cereal, you know, there's a little ring that comes out of the box. You hand it to the woman, you say, Harei Mekudesh Asli, and you give her this little plastic ring, it's less than a Sheva Pruta. And also Katan that does Kiddush, and he's a minor. In all these cases, Afa Pisha Shalch Sivlonos Lachemekan, and let's say you give her Sivlonos. Sivlonos, gifts, right? We'll see this a couple times throughout our Masechta, we'll see this in Kiddush as well. There was a Minug that when after Kiddush, the man sent gifts over to his newlywed wife. So even though you did it, ainu mekadesha, it's not going to be a kedushin. Now let's even say, just to make this more exciting, let's even say that the gifts that you sent her were expensive gifts. It doesn't matter. Shemachim's kedushin avishanim shalach. Now because really, when you send her the gifts, you were doing so on the first kedushin that you were mekadesher, and that was done erroneously, mistakenly, and so therefore the kedushin's not good. The imbaalu, but what if you went to the point of bia? In other words, after the kedushin betalos, and after all these cases, then you had bia. So now, what's the result? So we're gonna have two. We're gonna have two opinions in the brisa. Opinion number one: the Tanakama kanu. There was a kinyan. The bia transforms his marriage from what wasn't a marriage to a marriage. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Amar im balu lo kanu. And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that no kinyan. Okay.
Bia is a kinyan even for a katan.
So no, the bia takes place. Good question. Bia takes place as after he becomes an adult. Isha achasi. So again, what's involved in this case? One man, one woman. Good. Upligin, we have a machlokas. Now, granted, by the way, it's not a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, but so what? There's a machlokas tanayim, as to whether or not the bia that occurs afterwards is going to create a kinyan. So, my love, taos nadarim. Now, in the opening case of the Braisa, we talked about a case of mistaken kedushin. What was the mistake? So, ostensibly, this is now where the speculation begins. Ostensibly, the mistake is that he married her with a condition that you don't have nadarim, and meanwhile he's going to discover later on she did have nadarim. That's the mistake. And now if all this is true, what comes out now? That we have a machlokas tanayim, which would of course mimic the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, that in such a scenario, if you subsequently have bia, even though there was a conditions that were set forth, whether or not that bia is going to create nisuin or not going to create nisuin is the machlokas, and it's only talking about a case of one woman. So now this upsets Rabba's idea. Rabba wanted to lay forth the idea that in the case of one man, one woman, no disagreement, everyone agrees, if the marriage is done out tonight, and the tonight wasn't sustained, it wasn't satisfied, the marriage is no good. And meanwhile, we're in the middle of a brisa, and the brisa says machlokas. So the Gemara says, look. The Gemara says, no, that's not the way we're going to explain the brisa, but rather, talos pachos mishava pruta. You know what the mistake was? The mistake was is that I don't know if the ring that I gave her was a shava pruta, not a shava pruta. So the Gemara says, "Pauchas mishava pruta beheja ketanala." The Gemara says, "What are you talking about?" That's the very next case in the Brisa. Kicha betaos u pauchas mishava pruta. Isn't the Brisa talking about two distinct cases? The Gemara says, "No." Prushka mefarish. The Gemara says that the Brisa is actually one sentence. You have to read it as one sentence. Kicha betaos ketsad. What's an example of kicha betaos? Kigon shekicha pauchas mishava pruta, meaning that you gave her that ring that came out of the cereal box. So and now that we explained that the Bryce is talking about that case, and the Bryce has nothing to do with Tanayim, so now what's up? What's that issue over here? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So one opinion is, and this would be the Tanakama's opinion, is that, look, here's what people know. People may not know all the details about marriage, but people, most everyone knows, or let's say everybody knows, that in order to affect Kiddushin, you have to give her something of value. And it has to be worth something of a Sheva Pruta. And you gave her the ring out that came out of a cereal box, and it wasn't worth a Sheva Pruta. And so, you know, she knows, we all know, that right now the marriage has not been affected. So, Vigamar Ubal Hashem Kiddushin. And so, therefore, when you had Bia with her, that Bia, now you're not operating with inertia. You're not operating with that original kedushin because you know the original kedushin was no good. So therefore, the bia was being done for the purpose of kedushin. Umar savrein adam yodei shein kedushin tovsin bepachos mishava pruta. And the other opinion, meaning Rabbi Yishmael's position, is no, people don't know that. Meaning this is a halacha, but not everyone is familiar with the halacha. And so therefore, when kedushin was done, it was done with inertia, with that first kedushin that was done, and because the first kedushin was done with something less than a shava pruta, the bia is not going to do anything because the person doesn't have a new intent in mind with that bia. He was still operating with that original intent. The Gemara now is going to challenge once again. All we're doing right now is going to be a lot of brises that we're going to be going through. All we're doing right now is challenging the assertion of Rabba. Rabba says that in a scenario of one man, one woman, and Tanai, there is no disagreement. Everybody agrees that even if we move on to stage two, and even if the man and woman have relations, still the Kedushin is not going to be a Kedushin because it was done out Tanai, and nothing, the Tanai didn't go away. Eighth way the Gemara challenges based on the Braisa. Okay, look, the man says to the woman, I'll marry you, but under the following condition, meaning I want my father to agree to the marriage. Okay, simple, meaning, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, we'll go through the marriage, but understand, however, that when I'm a Kaddish you, the Kedushin is only going to be Chal only if I get a subsequent approbation from my father.
But it isn't enough, right?
No, it's not, meaning he's setting the Tanai forth beforehand. We'll learn the information afterwards, but in other words, the condition was set forth beforehand. So, Afa Pishla Ratzav Mekudeshes. So, according to the
Rera?
It's not Brera. In other words, it's a condition.
You're going to find out the fact after some of the facts.
No. In other words, right now, Dad has an opinion about her. We happen right now not to know what Dad's opinion is. We'll learn about it afterwards.
Is he going to have Bia first and then find out?
He'll be Mekadesha.
The question is,
I understand that, but he'll be Mekadesha. So, Afa Pishla Ratzav Av Mekudeshes. So, according to the Tanna Kamma, look, Dad was okay. Dad was fine with it. I'm sorry. If Dad was fine with it, then obviously everything's good. But Dad was Afa Pishalo Ratzav Mekudeshes. But according to the Tanna Kamma, right, so he gave her Kedushin, and they went back to Dad. So Dad, what do you think about this one? And he just shakes his head. And he says, no. He says, try again. So the Tanna Kamma says the Kedushin is valid. Which obviously we need to explain. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ratzav Mekudeshes. What are you talking about? That was a Tanai. That's a condition. And like anything, like any transaction, if the condition satisfies, then the transaction's good. In this case, we're talking about Kedushin. So if Dad approved, so fine. If Dad doesn't approve, then it's no good. And that condition was set forth. Now, once again, what are we talking about? One man, one woman. And meanwhile, we have a machlokas. Now, what the Gemara is assuming, and now this gets to the issue which you just touched on a moment ago, what the Gemara is assuming is, what could possibly be at issue over here? Well, maybe what could be at issue over here is, that again, they went through Kedushin, and then they also went through Nisuin, and again, maybe the Nisuin creates the marriage. So Hasabaha Kamiflagi. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that the argument over there is predicated on a different issue. Marsava Amanashi Yirtsaav Amanashi Yishto Kaav Vashasikle. Marsava Amanashi Yomra Abba Hain Vahalo Amar Abba Hain. Over here, the issue between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon has nothing to do with Kedushin, Al Tanai, then they had relations, and does that relation create anything? It has nothing to do with that. You know what the issue is? The issue is very simple. When we're looking for the approbation of Dad, are we looking for Dad to actually say yes? Or is approbation just simply Dad just shrugging his shoulders and saying, or saying nothing? Right? Just simply don't object.
You mean passive versus
Correct. That's the entire machlokas. And so really what it becomes now is a very detailed discussion of, when we say, I need his approval, what's the definition of approval? That's it. That's the entire machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon, and it does not impact our issue whatsoever. Eisvei. Let's do this again. Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Elazar. Here we are now. We're going to learn a new Braisa. And the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Elazar. And yes, that of course means that we're in the middle of a discussion. This takes us all the way back to Yevamos. Just going through the Braisa inside. So, B'ktana Shisi Avi Evin Is Garsha. V'yisama B'cheya Ha'av. The case is as follows. A girl gets married by her father. Remember, we've gone over this time and again. A father has a right from the Torah to marry off his katana daughter, his minor daughter. And so therefore that marriage has a chalos nisuin min haTorah. She is married min haTorah. And then afterwards she receives a divorce. She is now what's called the Yasoma Bechaya Av. She is an orphan while her father is still alive. It means that status-wise, legally speaking, her father is not, does not have a jurisdiction over her. She is now an independent entity. So in a certain respect, she's like an orphan in the fact that she's no longer connected to her father. Ve'echzira. And now what happens is the husband takes her back while she's a minor. So fascinating scenario. Halachically, right, confusing, but fascinating. The first time he married her, that was min haTorah. The second time he married her was midrabbanan. Right? Because the first time he married her, she doesn't have das, the father for her provided the das. But now that she's divorced and now she's an independent entity and she's still a minor, so the second time she gets married, it's only a marriage mitzvah rabbanon. So choletzes v'lo misyabemes. So now let's say that her husband died. Granted, this woman, this girl now has lived life, marriage, divorce, second marriage with the same man. And then the man dies. So now, what do we do as it relates to the halachas of Yibam? So the Braisa says, Choletzes v'lo misyabemes. Chalitza na Yibam, Mimnesha girshuha, Gerushin Gemurim, Vein chazarasa chazara Gemurim. Gemura. Because what happens is that the divorce is 100% bona fide. And meanwhile, when he brings her back and he marries her again as a katana, it's the only midrabanan. And so therefore, that means that she is not a Yavama in the Torah sense. She wasn't married to this man in the Torah sense, and so therefore her brother-in-law is not going to be able to perform Yibam. He'll do Chalitza, and this is one of those scenarios where he'll do Chalitza because it looked like a marriage.
He can't marry her because she's a Grusha from his brother, from the first time, the brother.
Yeah, but it's the same man though.
No. But the thing is that she carries that status of being
her brother's
Grusha, so she breath.
Okay, that's a good memory from Yibam. Okay, anyways, fine. Let's just. The Gemara says that this is only true when they divorced her as a katana and he took her back as a katana. Aval. However, consider the following. Same exact scenario. Not exact, but same starting point. Father married off as a katana. Divorced as a katana. And he takes her back as a gadola. Or let's say he takes her back as a katana, and then she becomes an adult before he dies, and now the man dies. So, according to the Tanakama, fine. I mean, when I say fine, meaning the marriage now has been amped up to a marriage minatorah, and as a result of that, she is now a widow of this man, and therefore either chalitza or yibam can be done with her by the surviving brother. Now, what is the Tana Kama saying? Meaning there's going to be a second opinion over here, obviously, because the whole point of the Gemara is that this is going to be subject to a machlokas. What's the Tana Kama saying? The Tana Kama saying is, look, when he takes her back, it's true he took her back as a minor. And it's also true that the marriage started off not being a marriage minatorah. But the fact now that she becomes an adult while being married to him, and he has relations with her as an adult, what that relations does is it becomes transformative. That act of bia that he has with this woman, even though they already went through marriage, they already went through kiddushin, but that act of bia after she becomes an adult is transformative and converts the marriage from a derabbanan to a daraisa. What it shows us is the idea that even though the original marriage was done not on a Torah level, a subsequent bia can transform.
Doesn't this
go back to
Machloket of Rav and Shmuel?
Wait, I'm sorry. Just give me one second. Let's just get through the Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amar Cholotzav Vilam Misyabemis and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer says nothing changed. Meaning because when he married her a second time, he took her in as a minor, and again because of the history where she was married then divorced, she's no longer connected to her father. So that second marriage occurred as when she's a minor, and it's true that even though she grew up while being married to him and they had bia subsequently, but nothing changes because Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to this idea of inertia, that because the original kedushin was done a certain way, every subsequent bia was done with that initial marriage in mind. Now, what are we dealing with one man, one woman? The Ahacha, the Gemara, we're on the top of Ayin Dal Amud Aleph. The Ahacha, the Betaos, Isha, Achas, Dami, Upligi, and yet we have a Machlokas over there. So now what the Gemara is trying to once again do is try to upset the entire theory of Rabbah, where we started the entire morning with, where Rabbah says that if it's one man and one woman, we have no Machlokas, everyone agrees, that it's done Al Das Kedushin Rishonim. And if the Kedushin Rishonim is is in our case, not the one we're currently dealing with, but in the original case, if it was done al tanai, every subsequent bia is going to be with that original kedushin in mind. Right. And if the original kedushin is not done, so is every subsequent bia. Right. And meanwhile, over here, it's one man, one woman, and it's not the same issue, but it's the same idea. Does every subsequent bia go back to the original kedushin or no? Does a subsequent bia done later on transform the marriage into something else?
How is this different from yesterday's case where Rabbi Shmuel was discussing the Mion case where she becomes adult and then has bia and then goes to the second guy?
It doesn't. It's just that.
It's the same concept, though, no? It's the same argument.
Agreed. But once Rabbi says that there's no machlokas when one man, one woman, so now we're going to get to challenge, and this is one of the cases we get to challenge from.
One of them says, like, two women. She was a minor, and now she's a gadola.
Oh, that's interesting. That's definitely interesting. Okay, so the Gemara says, Hasanami ba kemiflegi mar savra adem yodeshen kedusha ketana klum, v'gamra ba l'shem kedushin. Umar savra ein adem yodeshen kedusha ketana klum, v'chi kabal adayta tekedushin v'shon kabal. So the Gemara says, look, you know what? It's going to be the same basic issue.
Same answer.
When a man marries a girl who's a katana, she's a minor, and again, the father was not the one who was receiving kedusha on her behalf. Is it common knowledge that this marriage does not operate on a Torah level? Or is it not common knowledge? Now, if it is common knowledge, so then you understand that the man knows that the kedushin did not start off on a daraisa level. And so that means that as she turns an adult, so that next time that they have bia, he's going to have in his mind, we all know, I know that the marriage wasn't done on a daraisa level, and that's why in this case, we're going to say that no, the kedushin, that the bia is going to be transformative and turn the marriage into a kedushin min haTorah. Whereas opposed to Rabbi Eliezer of the Braisa, will argue and say, no, not everybody knows that, and that because not everybody knows that, so maybe he's going to be keep relying on that original kedushin that was done. Itmar Nami, the Gemara quotes another Amora who agrees with Rabba. Amar Vachar Bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and not just another Amora, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan. Hamakash al Tanai Ubal, Diavri Akol and Sricha Meneget, and the man has Mekadosh a woman and their conditions, and he then goes even one step further. He has relations with her. So everyone's in agreement. Divrei Hakol, and it's Richa Amen Get that you don't need a get. And the reason why is because there was a condition. What about the Bia? Okay, but you can't ignore the fact that there were conditions. What about the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? The Machlokas and Rav and Shmuel is extraordinarily limited. Very limited. In a case of either two women or the Gemara said earlier, one woman who you ended up marrying twice. One with, first time with condition, second time without. But that's it. So now the Gemara is going to keep questioning this position. It's now, we refer to it this morning as the position of Rabba. We now can refer to it as the position of Rabba and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also agrees that Divrei Hakol, that according to everybody, even though they had Bia, but still it was done based on the original Kedushin. Consider the following, Chalitza Muta'as Kshera. If you do chalitza to a woman, in other words, it's a chalitza opportunity or situation, I should say. A woman was married, her husband died, no children, the surviving brother now is not interested in doing the mitzvah of Yibam, he wants to do chalitza, and she's not open to the idea of chalitza. So what he does is, he basically tricks her into chalitza. How does he trick her into chalitza? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But the halacha is, chalitza muta'as ksheira.
Is her consent needed for
us? We'll get to that. We've done it before, and we're going to see it again now. So, Ezuhi Chalitza Mutah. So, what's an example? What's a mistake in Chalitza? So, we start with Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish Kol Shomer Lo Chlotzla Uvekachata Konsa. So, Reish Lakish says, well, here's what you said to her. What you said to her is the following. You know, we'll do Chalitza, and by the way, that's exactly how we're going to get married. Okay. Now, it's not nice, and no one's arguing that point. It's certainly not nice, but that's not the point. The point is that this is Reish Lakish's understanding of what Chalitza Mutas means. And again, the starting point of this particular discussion is Chalitza Mutas is Kshera. It's good, it's acceptable. To which the Gemara says, that's acceptable? Am Rav Yochanan Anisha, Bein Shin is Kavin Hu, Velon is Kavnehi, Bein Shin is Kavnehi, Velon is Kavnehu, Chalitza Sapsula. What are you talking about? If I'm missing kavana on either participant on the act of chalitza, it's no good. Achis kavni shneim. You need kavana on both parties, both the man and the woman, in order for the chalitza to be good. The at amart, right, Aramaic, and it's it's lashon zachar. He's talking to his brother-in-law. The at amart chalitza sekshera. and you think the chalitza is a good chalitza? How could you possibly be right? If he's telling her, look, chalitza, you see what we're going to do with the shoe and the spitting? That's how we're going to get married. And she said, okay, that's what he says. That can't possibly be a good chalitza. She doesn't have kavana for chalitza. In fact, she has the opposite kavana. Elam Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, so the Gemara says, you're right. So Elam Rabbi Yochanan, kol she'omer lo chlotzla amnashe titech lach masayim zuz. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what the example of chalitza mutas is? It's the following. He says, I'm going to do chalitza, and amnashe titech lach masayim zuz. And on top of that, I'll also give you 200 zuz. Okay, so in other words, he basically bribes her, if you will, into chalitza, and worst of all, what do you think happened? It's absolutely correct, and he doesn't give her the money. That's chalitza mutas. That's a mistaken chalitza, meaning she and he both know exactly what's going to happen, what chalitza is going to accomplish. They both have intent for chalitza. It's just that he says he's going to give her money. Now, Alma. So now, what does that show? What has just been demonstrated? Kevin Davin Maisa, Achule Achle Litanai. So now, what happened was is that there was a condition. And the condition was, I'll do chalitza, but only on the condition that I give you a certain amount of money. And even though he doesn't give her the money, it's still going to be kosher. Why? Because an action was done. And what the action is doing is it's demonstrating, a clear demonstration, that we're waiving the conditions. Hachanami kevin de ba'al achule achle letanai. And so therefore, even though at the point of kedushin, they were tanayim, but the fact that they had bia, isn't that clearly waiving the conditions that were set forth? Now, mind you, remember, this takes us all the way back to the beginning of the sugya. This takes us back to yesterday's daf. This was the rejected svara that Abaye dismissed in terms of how to explain Rav. But meanwhile, the Gemara is now resurrecting the svara. Look, there's an action being done. Isn't the action clearly demonstrating that the conditions are basically being forgiven? Amarle. So remember, the dialogue over here was between an uncle and a nephew. The uncle was, Rav Acha Bere de Rav Ika. Okay. So, So Amar Lei, so he says back to him, to his nephew, Bar Be Rav. So he starts off by saying, look, you're a nice yeshiva bacher. But Shaper Kamart, but really? You think that's a serious question? Michti, Kol Tanai Meicha Gamrina Mitanai B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. So, look, let's consider the following. Where do we learn Tanayim from? We had this discussion not that long ago, meaning the idea of Tanai is really a chiddush, meaning that we're going to do something, but we're going to set forth conditions, and the conditions are going to upend whatever we do. And right, we Tosus discussed this back a couple weeks ago. The whole idea of Tanai is really condition, that we could set forth conditions. And where do we know this from? Where does this halacha generated from? B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. Okay, we'll see it. Not that soon in Parsha. Okay, but we'll see. Upon entrance, right, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, upon entrance into the land of Eretz Yisrael, B'nei Gad, B'nei Reuven, look at the Transjordan, and they really like what they see on the east side of the Jordan River, and so they say to Moshe, you know what? We'd like here. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, look, very good, you like here. We're going into Eretz Yisrael, and you're supposed to fight with us. So I'll make you a following condition. You go in and you fight with us, then you get this land. You don't go in and you don't fight with us, you don't get this land. And that becomes now the prototype, the model of Tanayim. So Kol Tanayim Eicha Gamrinim Tanayim B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven. And now what do we learn from that parsha? All the halachas of Tanayim. And one of the basic rules of Tanayim, Tanay De'eshel L'kiyum Ha'idei Shliach Ki Asam Avet Tanayim. A condition is only a valid condition if it is transferable. If the act which we're making a condition of is a transferable act. As Rashi over here explains, what is transferable? meaning Moshe is deputizing Yehoshua and saying to Yehoshua, you better make sure that they go in and fight on the other side. So it's a condition made at an action that is that you can transfer that to somebody else. Aval Tanai, I'm sorry, Kiyasam can have it Tanai. Tanai de Loash Lukiyamai de Shlech, however, if the condition cannot be accomplished by somebody else, so Kiyasam lo have it Tanai, so that by definition is not going to be valid. Now, we don't have the time. Please take a look at the second Tosis on this Amud. Why that becomes such a critical component to the validity of the condition, and why we learn that. Tosis has a discussion over there. But anyway, for our purposes, just know that in order for a condition to be valid, it has to be that the condition in which we're discussing has to be transferable to somebody else. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about the act of relations. Now, I know we made this point just a couple days ago, and it's an obvious point, but it can't be outsourced. In other words, the only one that could do bia is going to be the man, the husband, and kiyasim v'kiyav tonight. So meanwhile, you're telling me that we can make such a condition. So the Gemara says, "Hasam mishum deit kishavai sladadi." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but you're right. Generally speaking, the act of bia cannot be part of it tonight. And the reason why it can't be part of it tonight is because it's not transferable to somebody else. You're right. But it happens to be that in the world of marriage can be accomplished in one of three ways: kesef, shtar, and bia. Kesef and shtar, you could do al yedei shliach. Bia, you can't do al yedei shliach. But the fact that there's a hekesh between all three of them means that all three of them are going to have the same halachic." Same halachic standing, and it's true. Bia cannot be outsourced, but bia in the context of marriage can be used as a condition because it's connected with kesef and shtar, and kesef and shtar can be done al yedei shliach. Okay. That kind of takes us now to the end of our second approach. That was long, a little bit complicated, but that's the end of our second approach. Comes out now that in approach number two, both Rabbah and Rav Yochanan say that if a man's Mekadesh a woman al Tanai and then has relations, that the relations don't change anything, the Tanai still stands, the marriage is uprooted from the very beginning, isn't the relations a transformative act? So Rabbah and Rav Yochanan will say no, because since it goes against the Tanayim, so therefore the relation is not a transformative act. We had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So he says the machlokas in Rav and Shmuel is extraordinarily limited. It is only dealing with a scenario where he married two women, or he married a woman and he divorced her and he married her again, and we're able to contrast one case he made a condition, one case he didn't. But in a general scenario where he made a condition, so then everything is going to go back to the condition. Number three, Amar of Ula bar Abba, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Lazar. Hamakash b'milva ubal. Let's say a man's mekadesh a woman through a loan, and then he has relations with her. Okay, we're going to learn together in Kiddushin. You cannot be mekadesh with a loan. What does that mean, being mekadesh with a loan? Well, let's say a woman owes you money. Yeah, you lent her money. And then, as it comes time now to repay the debt, so you go over to the woman and you say, look, you know what? I'll tell you what. Rather than having a business relationship, let's go one step further. Let's have marriage. Okay? Interesting start to a relationship, but that's how the marriage starts. And I'll tell you what. Rather than give you kesef kiddushin, I'll tell you what. I'll just simply forgive the loan that you owe me. Mm-hmm. Good? So we're going to learn together in kiddushin? That's no good. That's not going to be a valid marriage. Why not? So as Rashi explains over here, right? Excellent. As Rashi explains over here, the Gemara in Kiddushin explains over there, the reason why is because you didn't give her anything. You did give her money at the origination of the loan, but we know that when you're given money as a loan, what do you expect to do with that money? Expect to spend that money. That money is spent. The fact that you're forgiving the loan right now, that's very nice you're forgiving her the loan right now, but you're not giving her anything. And the marriage is predicated on you having to give her something. So we know that Mekadesh b'milva is not going to be any Mekadeshes. So in our case, what happens? You're Mekadesh her with a loan, meaning you forgave a loan, and then afterwards you followed up with Bia. Or case number two, Al Tanai Ubal. Or you married her with a condition, and then you had Bia. B'pachas mishavet pruta Ubal. Or with a ring less than a sheva pruta, and you have relations with her. Divrei Hakol tzricha him and a get. According to everybody, you need a get.
But the thing is, it would be involved.
Okay, good. Good.
So, because he knows how to be, it is the one that affects marriage.
Okay. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Nachem, Amar Rabbi Amin, Mekash Bepach Meshav Pruto, Baal, Tzrichem, and again. In case number one, yes, it gets required. Bahahu Delotai, because once again, it goes back to what people know. There, no one makes a mistake. But in these last two, people don't know. And therefore, once again, inertia sets in. And when we say inertia sets in, that means that the bia was done on the original action, and the original action was not good. The Gemara really is pounding this particular issue. The Gemara quotes in the name of Ula that if a man's mekadesh a woman on condition, and then in relations, it gets required. And in fact, this was an episode, an incident, and a get was required. To exclude herself from the following brisa. The Gemara quotes this brisa. We've seen this brisa earlier in the Masechta, the Hilon is Pasa Asura, Han is Pasa Mutares. A woman who is raped is going to be permitted to her husband. It's possible there is a scenario where a woman has an adulterous affair willingly, and she still would be Mutares. What would be an example of that? Where the Kedushin was done mistakenly, where even if the child is riding on her shoulders, the halacha is she just simply refuses and she'll turn her back and she'll continue. And so what comes out from this braisa that kiddushi taos upsets the whole marriage, even though she had more than just relations with the man.
Yes.
She had a child with the man. Still, the kiddushin is going to be uprooted from the very beginning. So the Gemara's conclusion on this matter is that if you're mekadesh al tanai, but then it's followed up by bia, so the bia is transformative, and the bia actually does convert it to a bona fide marriage. Now, what does it do? What happened to the tanai? So again, at the end of the day, we can offer one of two suggestions. Either the action was a mechila on the Tanaim, which the Gemara entertained two times over, or the other possibility is that no, ein adam oseh bilas bilas nos, and even though the Kedushin was done on Tanaim, but the Nisuin, or the, I should say in this case, the Bia was not done on Tanaim. So just to organize the entire daf, and tomorrow we'll pick it up on the very top of Ayin Dalam and Beis, just to organize the entire daf, so we start off with the question of a man's mekadesh a woman al tanai and then has bia. So we saw the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and then we saw basically three different ways to explain it. Abai explains it in the most simple way, which is it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. But then we saw Rabbah and Rav Yochanan who say that generally speaking, the marriage is not a good marriage, even with a subsequent bia. And the only machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is going to be a very limited scenario. And then we finally the third approach, which is that of Rabbi Lazar, is that if your man is mekadesh a woman al tanai, and then subsequent to that, you have bia, the bia is going to create a marriage. And what about the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? So, yeah. In other words, either he's passing like Rav, or I don't know. Right. That last part, I don't know what he's going to do with Shita Shmuel. Maybe he's just simply passing like Rav. Maybe that's it. But that part I'm not sure about. Okay. Adkan, we stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up at the very top of the next.